Did you notice today's collect? Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. It's quite an image of scripture as something to chew on, isn't it? The collect highlights for us the importance of the scriptures. But if I imagine a social media profile for Episcopalians' relationship with scripture, you know, single, married, in a relationship, I think that for many of us it would be, it's complicated. And the truth is, I've talked to a lot of Episcopalians about their attitude towards scripture, and it is complicated. Many of us have come out of contexts where the Bible did damage in the way it was used, where people used it as if it were a science textbook, and you know, we couldn't be open to scientific ideas. We couldn't believe in evolution because scripture says. It's been used as a weapon against people. It's been used to control, to dictate how a society should behave, what the laws should be. It's been presented as the only place where God speaks. Now, a lot of us have a history with scripture that hurts. And it's not surprising that many of us are skeptical about it, hurt, afraid to trust. And so I see many people who ignore the Bible, just, you know, don't have to read that, or downplay its importance or even ridicule it. And yet, it stands at the center of our liturgy, folks. The Bible is not something that Episcopalians have left behind. It's not just that every single Sunday we have an Old Testament lesson, a New Testament lesson, a gospel reading, and a psalm or canticle. And by the way, our canticle doesn't just come from the Book of Common Prayer today. It comes from the Book of Isaiah. It's not just that. But that our prayer book itself is permeated with scripture. It's in the words of so many of our prayers. It's in our Eucharistic prayer. Our lives are interwoven with the scriptures. And so I think that raises the question for some of us, why set apart some books as sacred anyway? And let me just, as a side note, emphasize that Episcopalians, and really the church in general, has never said, these are the only books you can read. Right? It's more like scripture is the foundation on which we build. It's the foundation. It's never been the only thing. It's never been the whole library. But it's the core set of books. And scripture itself says God's out there speaking everywhere. There's lots of other places where we do listen for the word that God has spoken. Listen to the voice that began creation. That word speaks all around us. That word speaks in Jesus Christ. And for Episcopalians, Jesus Christ is the one word of God who speaks through all creation. And who speaks to us through the words of Scripture. The Bible is the book that tells us about Jesus. I mean, obviously, we know that, right? It's the book that gives us the story of Jesus' life and teaching. But more than that, it tells the story that leads us to Jesus, that helps us to understand who he is, and what he means for us and for the world. Jesus is impossible to understand without the Hebrew scriptures. They set the context for him. They tell us who he is, and he lived very much within that world. And Jesus interpreted himself within the context of Scripture. He talked about who he was within that context, and he also talked about what God wants within the context of Scripture. He quoted it, he riffed on it, he argued with it. And as I said last week, Jesus really at times challenges portions of the Old Testament. You know, he pushes back against them, and he gives us a framework for interpreting the parts of Scripture that can do damage. Because Jesus highlights, what does God want? God wants mercy. What does God want? God wants love. And if we interpret in ways that are contrary to mercy and love, we're missing God's will. Jesus gives us a lens for reading Scripture that's really important. But over and over and over again, Jesus emphasized the centrality of Scripture for him and for his disciples. And what does he do on the road to Emmaus? He shows them what the Scriptures say about himself. So the Bible helps us to understand who Jesus is, but the Bible also tells us the story of people who wrestled with God over many centuries. In all these stories, in Genesis and Exodus and even Numbers, a long way from my favorite book of Scripture, folks, but all through the prophets and through the Psalms, we see people wrestling with God. Israel's name means the one who wrestles with God. And Scripture shows us what they learned about who God is, about what God wants, about God's vision for the world, about what it means to be human. There's so much just deeply human stuff in the Scriptures. Our doubts, our fears, our angers, the ways that we go gravely wrong as individuals and as societies. If you go back and read these stories, they are classic stories of what it means to be human. And they show us not only what we can be for good, but also where we run into trouble. And the Bible shows us, and I think this is really important, and one of the things that I've come to appreciate deeply about Scripture as a biblical scholar. It shows us that even people who claim to know God can get it wrong, can be too influenced by their social context, by their culture's norms, and they mistake the culture's norms for the will of God. We see that in Scripture. We see the pitfalls that we as human beings need to watch out for as we try to figure out who God is and what God wants from us, as we listen for the word that God has spoken. Shows us the danger for us and for others when we claim God as exclusively ours. We see Israel doing that, and we see the prophets pushing back against that and saying, oh no, don't make the mistake of thinking that God is only yours. God is at work in all nations, and God loves all people. We see the danger when people use their relationship with God to do violence to others and think that God has told them to do that. There are parts of Scripture that say, God tells you to go out and slaughter them all. But we have other voices in Scripture that push back against that and say, no. As our lesson in Isaiah today says, what's the vision of what God wants for the world? They will neither harm nor destroy. And there's another place in Isaiah where that same line is used. It says, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. When people really know God, they will neither harm nor destroy. Scripture is a conversation. At times, it's a flat-out argument. And how much do we learn by listening to a conversation with multiple points of view? How does it challenge what we think? How does it challenge us to go deeper? Scripture calls us to read, learn, inwardly digest, to chew on it, not just to read that and say, oh, that's the will of God, but to get the big picture, to look seriously at the contradictions and the arguments and say, where do I learn in this whole conversation? Where do I hear God's voice? Did you notice what an argument or what a contrast there is between Jesus' words and the lesson from Isaiah today? Talk about two contrasting voices. Jesus is describing this time of trouble and disaster, when everything we hold dear seems to be falling apart. And I have to say, as I reflected on this scripture this week, it just struck me as amazingly contemporary. You know, we've got the wars, we've got the plagues, we've got the insurrections, we've got the families divided. You know, and of course, this is not the only time in scripture, in history, that this has happened. It's happened over and over and over again. A time when our world seems to be falling apart. And so we have Jesus' stark words about hanging on and staying faithful and trusting in God in the middle of that kind of time. And over against it, we have Isaiah's witness. And Isaiah's speaking to people who've already been through that kind of time and holding out to them, here's God's vision for you in your future. A time of peace, a time of fruitfulness and joy. A time without violence. Over the centuries, God's people have experienced both. The Bible bears witness to that. The Bible gives us a place to go when our world is shaking, when we are afraid, when we are overwhelmed. Scripture shows us the story of people who have survived that, who've been through it. And over and over and over again, the Bible bears witness to God's faithfulness and love in every time, in the good times and in the bad times, in the times of deepest trauma for people as individuals, for people as whole societies. The Bible bears witness over and over again to the God who loves us even when we are angry, when we are hurt, when we are questioning and doubting, when we're yelling at God, the God who loves us and stays with us, even when we don't think God is there. Scripture's witness over and over again in the lives of ordinary people that God will never leave us or forsake us. That God is with us for the long haul, with us as individuals, and with us as the human race, that we are God's creation. God loves us, and God's not given up on us. And so, over the many centuries that are contained within the biblical witness, throughout that foundation, we hear the message, just as Isaiah bears witness today. Surely it is God who saves me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. For the Lord is my stronghold and my sure defense, and he will be my savior. Or as one who built on that firm foundation said, many centuries down the road, all shall be well. And all shall be well. And every manner of thing shall be well. Amen.